Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up, with late breaking news.
Late breaking news. Happy Party Friday, everybody.
Yes.
For a party Friday, this show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Want to let you know, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have on Mike DiMano. We had a great time with him at the Republican National Convention. He's fighting the good fight for Republicans in the heart of Democrat District HD2. So we'll have him on to talk about that. But we want to start off with Mark Hampton, one of our favorite guys from Parker Conservatives. I'm a contributor to Rhino Watch. And Mark, we're going to launch with a good news, an epic court smackdown of the Rhino GOP elite attempt to oust grassroots chair Dave Williams. This hot off the press.
Hot off the, right from the court.
30-day stay.
That's right. The judge granted a restraining order prohibiting Trader Todd and Nancy Pelosi.
Dumpty Nancy Pelosi.
And their cast of Mary Coosters, who were trying to hold an illegal meeting to oust Dave Williams. The court told them, nope, can't do that. That would be, there's a temporary restraining order. You said you just heard about it too. I guess let's just jump right in and get your thoughts on it.
This is great news because 30 days takes us almost to the August 31st meeting that they've already planned to have, right? To hear their grievances at that point, the proper way to do it. So this is great. And I understand there's like some 200 sandwiches available right now in Brighton.
Yeah, you don't want them to go to waste.
Yeah, right.
We don't want them to go to waste. You know, I feel bad for the small business owner. You know, are they going to get stuck with this? Or is Eli and these guys, is Todd Watkins, are they going to make good to this small business owner? Being in the restaurant business myself, I'm going to find that business owner. I'm going to find out if they're going to get stuck with that.
Good point, because you know who's also going to be there are the lawyers to serve the restraining order on anyone who tries to show up at the meeting, right? So
right.
So just so you know, it's like they and anyone associated with it are enjoined. So to kind of back it up, the judge basically, I mean, it was straight down victory for the Colorado Republican Party legitimate leadership team of Dave Williams, Hope Shuppelman, and Anna Ferguson. The judge pointed out that Nancy Pelosi tried an illegal coup, trying to call for a meeting. She was slapped down and censured by her own party. So then Todd Watkins just simply took the same thing, tried to do it, and called for a special meeting. The judge notes that the party followed its own bylaws, held a hearing, determined...
Which they participated in.
Determined that there were the so-called petitions were not valid, and therefore any meeting would be illegal. Legal and improper. And then this I particularly like, and the judge said, so, you know, and they, I'm going to have to put in my glasses, but he said, you know, the state GOP Dave Williams argued, you know, this, there would be irreparable harm if this were to take place. It says, because he articulated at length, the leadership of the Colorado Republican Party could be called into question, leaving the party in disarray roughly 100 days out before the general election. And then he said, the plaintiff, this I think is very interesting, that would be Dave Williams and the current leadership, has demonstrated a reasonable probability of success on the merits with respect.
Which you need for any temporary restraining
right,
order.
Right. But what right. that means is the judge says, you want to bring this to trial, I'm going to rule in favor of the defendant.
He doesn't quite say that.
He leans that way.
Right, yes. Exactly. So, and then he said that Nancy Pelosi, Todd Watkins, and any persons acting in concert with them are hereby enjoined from holding this meeting. Now, I guess it could go and have sandwiches.
No meeting.
No, really, they can't do anything, can they, Chuck? They can't assemble in any way.
No, not you know, it's and not call it a meeting. I guess
right.
they call it a picnic.
A picnic. You bought their 200 sandwiches.
But this is such great news at a really important time, quite frankly. You know, the Republican Party is always going squirrely. Lauren Boebert, in an inestimable way, goes squirrely, saying, well, you know, we don't want everybody fighting each other 100 days before the election. Yeah, right, Lauren.
She should have kept her mouth shut, right? Well, just waited 4 or 5 hours and she didn't need to issue a press release that now has all the grassroots hating her again. Well, one of the persons, so everybody and their mother, including our dog Tiger, who's an insurrectionist, wanted to run for GOP chair in their effort to oust Dave. We had Eli Bremmer, Richard Holtorf, Britta Horn, and your own Dugco GOP chair, Steve Peck. Yeah. I mean, what do you make of that?
Eli Bremmer, the consummate loser. We won't spend a lot of time there. You know, he did go to the Olympics, but he did place 22nd. I did a little research on the guy because I don't know him that well.
Is it
22nd?
Because I wrote something. I said, "What did he finish?" And I couldn't. You know, they had the top.
On his Wikipedia page. Yeah. So you know, and Richard, you know, funny, the guy actually should go into stand up. He should get out of politics altogether and just do stand up. Yes. But you know, here, what we want this guy. Who calls Lauren Boebert basically a streetwalker? Yeah, I don't think we want that. And the lady, I have no idea. Don't know her from Adam, but whatever. And then we have our own Steve.
She runs
Peck,
for everything. I know her. I like her. She's a very pleasant
person.
She's
in the Western Slope. Yeah.
But she's an establishment figure. And if there's something she can run for, she will.
Oh, and we got plenty of those out there, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do.
And then Steve Peck, you know, he did the trifecta here in Douglas County. He alienated himself from his grassroots base all at once, made the dividing line even harder between the two. And, you know, the establishment will just discard him after they're through with him. He is not part of their little country club party, right?
No.
He's not part of the country club conservative or Republicans. You know, they're all going to go off in Cherry Hills and play their little ball. And, you know, they're going to look at him and just laugh and go, wow, I can't believe we got as much out of him as we did. And they're going to get on down the road. You know, that one, you know, knowing the individual, you know, living here in Douglas County, this makes absolutely no sense. But, you know, in politics,
well, he'll
these
say
days,
he
what,
wanted
what
to
makes
do it
sense?
So they'd have a grassroots choice. That's right. What he'll say.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you have, in the Honey Badger report, articulated brilliantly time and again that, okay, you know, this is time now to go ahead and unify. We have a chance
exactly.
In Colorado. Trump is in, it's, you know, they say Colorado could be in play. And I think, you know, we'll see as things shake out after Kamala Harris, but I don't think she's going to set anybody on, you know, she's polling.
She'll get a little bit of a honeymoon bump, but that's it.
That's it. And instead, so now you have, rather than focusing on getting Republicans and frankly, their candidates elected. The Rhinos won the primaries, right? They decided to waste time and energy and money to try to oust the grassroots chair when they can simply just wait a few months and vote them out at the state assembly.
Exactly.
If there's all this does is cause disruption. I mean, Lauren Boebert, and again, I don't know who turned her into a snake, or maybe she always was. Was saying, well, there Dave Williams is causing divisiveness. It's like Dave isn't the one causing divisiveness. I mean, what is their motive, do you think? And why do they seem so intent on the one time the Republican Party is actually looking really good in Colorado destroying it?
Yeah, you know, it's all about power. It isn't about the leadership, really ideology. It's all about their own little fiefdoms and power. That's really what it comes down to. It's all about Anschutz. I mean, this thing has so many fingerprints all over it. This has Heidegenall's fingerprints on it, KBB's, all these Anschutz people are all behind the scenes helping orchestrate this stuff with Eli and Todd and all these guys. And it's they're just taking a play out of the Democrat book. Never let a tragedy go to waste. And it was a tragedy that Dave got blown out the way he did, because let's call it what it is. He got blown out. Okay, a lot of people have over their course and career, but that doesn't make him a bad leader.
Well,
you know,
and
a lot
also,
of people,
when I can blow out anybody, you give me $3 million for a congressional race and negative advertising. I can
20-1, yeah.
Yeah, and have the other people have no money. I mean, that's not hard.
Yeah. So, you know, and a lot of people say, well, Dave's MIA, and he has been, but we don't know what he's been working on, right? You know, he just got to stay at the 11th hour, him and Hope. You know, they've been working on this stuff. This takes that time away from what they could be focusing on
absolutely.
To what they're needing.
I can tell you what he's been working on, because we were with them at the RNC, right? The Republican National
Convention. Yeah, I saw some pictures with you guys together.
Hope and Dave, Anna was not able to be there, but Hope and Dave worked their butts off. I mean, because Vera Ordegon, and I guess I don't blame her after she was, after she was, you know, not elected again as a Republican National Committee woman.
Just dropped the ball. Just disappeared.
Just dropped the ball and disappeared.
She didn't even hand the ball off. She just dropped it. The ball. There you go.
So all of a sudden, Hope and Dave are scrambling, trying to find hotel accommodations. I mean, it was so complicated. I mean, and not for us as delegates, and maybe Mike can maybe talk about this, as delegates, it was run smooth as anything. But you could see Hope and Dave were like constantly talking and trying to figure out this and figure out that. So I think last week, and I'm going to throw into the mix, his wife is due to have a baby any moment
20th,
too.
Yeah.
So I'll defend Dave on that. He has been a little bit MIA, I think, if you're the Colorado Republican Party sitting here at home, but he had a massive job that was just dropped into his lap and Hope's lap, and they did a great job making that go. I'll say that at least.
Yeah. I saw some of your live updates. You guys got more clicks than our buddy Mandy. I just happened to go on and look at, you know, she was doing her little thing. You guys got far more clicks than she did.
Yay,
thank you. I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, why do you think? I mean, my thing is that some of these establishment people, and as you say, Anschutz, Heidi Genau, KBB, they
you have to distinguish between the one person who controls them all, the minions.
Right.
I mean, you know, right, Heidi Genau has Buzz Koble's money, but, you know, they don't care what happens to the Republican Party as long as they're...
They'll tell you they do. And that's what's so disgusting about it. That's the biggest thing why I have such an issue with it. They'll all sit there and preach all this stuff to you. Then you look at what they publish on their sites and stuff. That just tears our party apart. It's like, I'm saying this and doing this, but please don't look in between, you know? And that's this thing that just irks me more than anything else. It says, if you're going to walk the walk, walk it, but don't say one thing. Then just go ahead and publish it all and just say, oh, well, you know, it's commentary. So we're going to allow it.
Yeah.
No, come on. That's a BS answer.
Well, and again, just to me, it's like, you know, call it straight. I get if you don't like Dave Williams, fine. Then get in, then vote him out, you know, in a matter of months to try to do this. And I want to get your thoughts, because this is kind of my theory and Vicky Tonkin's theory, too, that these people are actually sort of secretly never Trumpers. And they are worried that if Trump wins, then the grassroots and the populace and the America First agenda of supporters sort of solidify in Colorado. And they don't want that to happen. What do you think of that?
I don't want Trump to win in Colorado. Yeah. I mean, they're. It'd be awful, because then what would Dick Wadhams do after the last 6 years telling us how everybody hates Donald Trump in Colorado and he wins the state? That'd be terrible. I mean, you know, that would throw out his entire message for years. And so, you know, he's not going to vote for Trump, and he doesn't want him to win nationally or locally.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's a shame, because the last polls I saw before the change up here is, I think we were within about 2 points.
Right.
So almost in that margin of error, and we're so close. And I can understand that point, you know, that theory that this is, because these folks will do whatever they have to do to get back their power. Right. They don't care who they step on, what happens. All they care about is what's in their bank account and how do I make it bigger and what's the best way of doing that. And if we can keep the true grassroots out, right, and just say, well, it's because you guys pick bad people. No, it isn't because we pick bad people. It's because the laws are set up to keep us basically out. You know, when you can pay to play to get on every ballot, you know, it just doesn't, it's not a fair field.
No. That's one of, I think, their motives, too, is because you know that you just look at the people who are running, who want to be, you know, the chairperson if they can get rid of Dave. Every single one of them is an anti-opt-out lawsuit person. I think one of the first things they would do, because they want to be able to talk about pay-to-play to get on the ballot, right? They don't want to have to go through the pesky voters. They want to do it the Democrat way, right?
Yeah.
The boys in the
pesky
just decide who the candidate is.
No different what they just did with Kamala, right?
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, listen, Chuck Schumer, from the bottom up,
Yeah, that's the bottom
line. When I heard that, I was like, you hear yourself?
You got to wonder.
I don't care.
Well, you got to wonder.
You know, I've been around for a while. You've been around for a while. They're always happy to lie when it wasn't all that clear they're lying. Now, you go to the grassroots up, and that's hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah, it's they're willing to lie, and they know you know they're lying, and they don't care.
Right.
Well, what do you suspect? I mean, going back, so if people are just joining us, I want to emphasize. So the Colorado, a judge granted a temporary restraining order, just like within the hour. Prohibiting Trader Todd from holding his fake meeting to try to oust Dave Williams.
So, and all the rest of the leaders, even though that wasn't on the call.
Right.
You know, the call was not all the officers. It was Dave. Oh, it doesn't matter. Just throw them in there. We'll replace them too. You don't need to make a call for that.
I think
law, what law?
And talk about money. I think what Eli Bremer, thoughtful guy that he is, not only was going to bring the Brownstein law firm back into play for the Colorado Republican
Party. Oh, yeah. That was, Chris Murray was coming back and Brownstein was
but
all
he,
set.
He created a whole new thing. He was going to have somebody be in charge of the IEC, the money, the independent expenditures, like we'll have that too.
Right.
Well, he had a rogues gallery of rhinos. He had Kevin McCarney from Mesa. He had your Dave Peck. I forget who the
Steve
other
Peck.
Couple.
Steve Peck wants to be just chair himself, I think.
No. Well, he does. Yeah, you're right. But,
he wants to be chair. According
to
his
chair, but he had other people who are known rhinos. For all the positions, secretary, vice chair.
Jeff, there you are being pesky about those bylaws. Those are guidelines. It's like the Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Mark, do you think they're going to go away, though? I mean, I don't know where they go with this. I mean, this is a pretty explicit temporary restraining. I mean, you know.
Well, I can tell you as an attorney, there is nothing worse than losing a preliminary injunction. Because it means the judge is already against you and unlikely, not impossible, but unlikely to find for your behalf. That doesn't mean it doesn't cost your client a fortune because you got to prepare for trial. If you just say, never mind, then you get attorney's fees, sanctions. So what Todd Watkins and Nancy Pelosi have to go to whoever they go to and say, hey, we need another $30,000 for to cover the trial. The Brownstein law firm, maybe we'll give them a deal.
What do you say?
I kind of doubt. What was that, Julie?
I said, how do you see this play out from here then?
Yeah, so that 30 days takes us almost up to the August 31st. So I would kind of guess to try to jam another meeting in there because they could probably go out. Chuck could answer this, but I would think that they could get another extension on this to kind of squelch it. But the 31st is going to be the next scheduled meeting. So let's go ahead and have the meeting. This is so divisive and so what we should not be focusing on at this present time. And at least we can have the meeting on the 31st. You know, let them air your grievances at that point. You know, it's getting close to Christmas. Let's get that, that poll from Seinfeld where you air your grievances every year.
Best of us.
And
we can
parade all up there. But it's just not going to do anybody any good. And most of all, it's not going to help our candidates because we're going to end up spending money. Dave is going to end up having to spend money and time, right? Taking care of all this. And this is money that could be deployed in these down ballot races where we want to flip seats.
Right.
Or where we need to hold seats.
Right.
Like we need to hold Lauren Boebert's seat. Given, I know where there's a lot going on, noise here, but we need to hold that seat.
Right. Yeah,
we're not doing that.
Well, I'll tell you what we should be doing, which is I'm a broken record, but I'm glad to see that other people are joining the broken record. We need to be able to have everybody vote early so you can get the votes out. You know, if you vote on election day, you have no idea who hasn't voted and who hasn't voted. If you're the candidate. So does you no good to try to get out the vote because you're not sure they're not going to be there on election. You've got to get everybody to vote early and then find the 25, 30% that haven't voted and then pound them to go and vote. If you have everybody vote on election day, it's a disaster. And also you need to go to old age homes to make sure that they don't ballot harvest there alone. I mean, there's a lot of things the Republican Party should be doing absolutely right now that it isn't doing because Todd Watkins and Nancy Pelosi, on behalf of Phil Anschutz and all the other people, are decided, we don't, this is a perfect time, you know. Dave didn't do well in the congressional one. He's weak. Let's go for it, boys and girls. Let's destroy everything.
Yeah, let's burn it all down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. No, you're absolutely right, Joe. We need to be getting these people out to vote. One of the things is DC GOP is at Douglas County Fair. That's our big fair, kicks off tomorrow. We're actually going to be out looking to change people's affiliation, where we went through, we had some people go through some training classes and got them all trained up on what they can say versus what they can't say. Because the big thing that you hear all the time is the unaffiliated voters. And we have so many Republicans that left to become unaffiliated because they can't stand our party anymore. I happen to do a lot of walking during a primary, and I talk because we have a lot of unaffiliateds here in the neighborhoods I live in. And I talk to a lot of them, and there's really three groups. There's one, I changed my affiliation because of J6, and I didn't want to get targeted. I saw what was going on, and I didn't want people to know.
Wow.
It's not the biggest group, but there is that group out there. Wow. Then there's the group that, you know, you hear all the time from rhinos. Well, they left because, you know, we can't get along, you know, that whole thing. But then there's the last group, and it's the larger group that I run into. We left because the party doesn't stand for anything anymore. And we want you to stand for something. So, you know, you sit there and tell them, you know, we got this type of leadership. And it's like, well, maybe we need to take a look at this, because this is the reason we were a Republican. We felt like we were a Democrat the way the party continually voted and kept giving away our rights. So we left. And now nobody ever wants to hear that. But there is a lot of people out there that feel that way.
Right. And I want to read some of the comments, actually, Mark, because people love you. Charlene says this Mark Hampton guy is great on Facebook. You are. Okay.
Thank you.
And some of the other, I just wanted to put that out there for that. Well, you know, and let me ask you, because we've only got a few minutes left with you. The Parker Conservatives, for folks that don't know, you guys have your monthly meeting. It's the largest, I think, such meeting.
Yeah.
It's not the county Republican Party. It's Parker Conservatives. And you get, because I know we've spoken there, and you get everybody. We were at a meeting there. We spoke. Christy Burton Brown spoke. I mean, you have, you've had people there who liked us, people there who like Christy Burton Brown. So you do, I think, a great job of getting all kinds of people there. In general, just the regular people. I'm not talking about the people who are trying to get at power. Do you think the party is as divided as the Todd Watkins people want us to think? Or are there more people that come to your meetings who are like, I just want to help get our candidates elected? Or am I just?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more like that, Julie. There really is. I think it's a very small faction. In fact, Badger Report, I'm getting ready to go on the road, so I'm going to release the Badger Report tonight. I think I narrowed that group down to about 20% overall at the most. At the most. I mean, I'm taking in everybody that piles on the bandwagon that you see with all their crazy posts and stuff. But, you know, more people, I would tell you 65-70% of the people that come in just want to get our Republicans elected. They want to take back our party. They want America first values. That's what you hear them say a lot, is we just want America first values. We want to stop the border. We want to stop the drugs. We want to stop these things. We need inflation to go down. I mean, this is, you know, what they call the kitchen table stuff, right? And that's all these people. These are all hardworking. They're salt of the earth people out here. And that's all they want to do. And they're just trying to find who can help lead us.
Right.
And that's why they've kind of gravitated. You know, our pillars are inform, educate, and activate. And I try to do my best. You know, I mean, the night that you guys were, we had some 200 people there that night.
Right.
You know, our barn revival that we just held here a couple of weeks ago at the JA Ranch, we had 200 plus there, you know, and it was, I put it together as a, you know, this is unity. Let's come together. Now, we didn't get much of the other side. We did get some, but not like, you know, they're all busting down saying, we got to unify, you got to unify, until you say, hey, we'll come and unify. Unification to them is I come to their side and become a pod person.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's Donald Sutherland with screaming, you know, from the movie. You know, that's what they want us to be.
Yes.
You know, at the end of the day. And we're not going to do that. We're never all going to get always going to agree. I think Lauren said that in her thing, but we're going to support those people as long as you're not trying to undermine our party and do some pretty dastardly things that we continue to see this group doing, because some of the stuff they're doing is just so underhanded.
It's underhanded and it's unnecessary, particularly now. And, you know, and I hope that, you know, again, I bet if you're Lauren Boebert, I bet she kind of wishes she'd kept her mouth shut for at least a couple of hours until, you know, because now she's got people riled up about her and they can't even go to the meeting. She can't go to the meeting.
I will tell you, she was not going to go to the meeting. I do have this from them. She was not going to go to the meeting and she was not sent on a proxy. She was not going to legitimize the meeting.
Okay.
So I will let you know that.
Okay.
And I have that on very good authority.
Okay. So she was just kind of covering all bases by talking to Colorado Politics then and putting out a statement saying that Dave needs. Well, what I hope is too, is that some of the people who maybe don't like Dave and we're jumping on the bandwagon and we're going to go to this meeting may look at the judge's order, right? And say, you know, actually, do we really want to do that? And maybe let's just wait. Let's just fight for November. And after November, we can start talking about who, if we want to make any changes at leadership.
Yeah, then after that, what do we have? A couple, 3 months before we have the election?
Right.
And that's the proper time to do it. And if you can muster all the votes to do it, you weren't able to do it last time.
Yeah.
Get out there and start working it.
Exactly. Well, Mark, we will let you go. Can people go to Honey Badger? How do people? Because that's such a great company.
It is only sent out by email, and I do post it on our Facebook. You guys post it on Rhino Watch, so that gives them the best way to get it. We don't have a website, so we get that out there that way. You know, but everybody's also welcome as long as you're not, you know. You're not media. You're welcome. And you're not a Democrat. You're welcome to come to our meetings. Our next meeting is August 7th here in Parker. But we meet on that first Wednesday of the month. And, you know, we always like to get new people. And we always have a good time. That's the biggest thing is we like to have a good time. And we try to get interesting speakers that go, to your point, far ends of the spectrum.
Right.
Let's have that voice and let's talk about that. But at the end of the day, let's keep our eye on the ball. Let's get these Republicans. Let's get Trump elected. Because if we don't get those things done, the hill we have to climb gets immensely bigger.
Immensely bigger. All right. Mark, thank you for your time. Say hey to President Trump there behind you.
I will do that. You know, I invited him to our meeting, too. I sent him a letter.
All right. Let us know if he shows up.
All right, Julie. Tell Chuck bye for me.
Mark Hamden there with Parker Conservatives. Let me read just some of these comments before we get to Mike. Again, from Charlene, this Mark Hamden guy is great on Facebook. Yes, he is. And you can get Parker Conservatives. They have a great Facebook page. From Sandra, yep, these Republicans are just like the Democrats. They are the Dick Dick Wadhams Republicans, and I'm flipping tired of them. They need to get the hell out of our party. From Charlene, they all need to be censured like Liz Cheney and expelled from the party. And then Sandra commenting, hopefully the machines work on Election Day. From Charlene, are the candidates even campaigning against the Democrats anywhere, or was it enough just for them to knock out the grassroots conservatives? Good question, Charlene says. Sandra, we need an answer to that. And thank you, Mark Hamden. Good to know that you are out there. We need more like you. Want to switch gears a little bit, and we'll get back around to this now, but had a great time with Mike DeManna, who is longtime Denver Republican, running for state representative in House District 2, which is in Denver. So, Mike, let me say thank you for your time today and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Julie. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So we had a lot of time to talk during the RNC, and it was great to get the chance to talk to you and your lovely wife. First, let me get your thoughts on the RNC. I mean, it seems like it was 100 years ago, but actually we just all flew home like a week ago. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I was an alternate delegate for Donald Trump in 2016, so I was in Cleveland. And this was an incredibly different experience. In fact, I've told many people it was an experience of my lifetime.
Yeah.
I had never seen this type of unity in the party. It's so wonderful to be with thousands of people that believe the way you do, that think the way you do, that want America restored the way you do, that it's just a, it was just a great experience. And I can tell you, Monday night, when Donald Trump came walking down that hallway right next to the Colorado delegation, the shouting and screaming was so loud, I literally could not hear people on either side of me. It was spectacular.
You know, and I don't know, initially when I saw where Colorado, the delegation was seated, I was like, oh, we were in the back of the room. But then, as you put, you realize we were right where Donald Trump, Melania Trump, J.D. Vance, everybody had to walk right by us and then up the stairs and right there. So you're right. It was great. And I think everybody did a great job there. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, so you could see there at the thing, you know, Donald Trump's ear bandaged, even though the FBI is now trying to foolishly say, or maybe it was shrapnel, but your opponent, I won't even say his name, but he's the current Democrat holding the seat, tweeted this is the right after the assassination attempt, the last thing America needs is sympathy for the devil. I mean, to me, that just says everything about who your opponent is. I mean, and I don't know, maybe you don't want to go there, but if you do care to comment, your thoughts on that.
No, I'm happy to go there because we put out a tweet on X immediately following that, decrying this statement and asking people, is because at that point in time, while we knew that the president, former President Trump had not been seriously injured or killed, there was a man there who was killed. And 200 people were seriously injured. And this is the kind of stuff this guy would like to put out. I just said to people, is this the kind of person you want to represent this district in Colorado or not? So really, when I got into this race or decided to get into it, it was because I was so tired of complaining, and nobody was doing anything about it. So I said, what the heck? I'll throw my hat in and let's see what I could do. Then I started to investigate my opponent, and I'll say his name, Stephen Woodrow.
Okay.
Because when you ask people in my district if they know who their current representative is, they don't. But they need to know who Stephen Woodrow is.
Okay.
Find out about him. Not only is he a Trump hater and just a bad human being saying things like that, but he also has been on virtually every bill sponsored by Elizabeth Epps and Tim Hernandez, who are two avowed and admitted communists in the legislature. This is the kind of guy this guy is. Well, when he got my response, okay, and there was some other outcry, little from the Democratic Party, not only did he retract his statement, as they usually do, gosh, it was misinterpreted. But he also took himself completely off of Facebook. He doesn't even have an account on it anymore.
Well, so that's because I'm sure because of all the ugly comments, right? And it's, I mean, and maybe, I mean, Facebook can be brutal, but I'm sure he did it because just people were blasting him for saying that. You know, and I would say two things. Not only is that a completely horrible thing to say, it also just shows a serious lack of judgment to even, you know, I mean, I don't know if he was drunk tweeting or something like that. You know, I mean, it shows a serious lack of judgment to just even think that that would be okay.
This is the kind of a guy he is, based upon what I've seen. The legislation he sponsors, the things he passes, his failure to look, we are what, less than 11 days from the assassination attempt. And we have this big demonstration in Washington with a bunch of Hamas supporters tearing down American flags, burning American flags, defacing our monuments there. And this guy, Stephen Woodrow, a Jew, says nothing.
Yeah.
He's completely silent. Well, he's going to hear from me tomorrow, and I'm going to challenge him about it, and I'm going to see if he's going to come out of his hiding place or whether he's going to pull a Joe Biden on me, that's where he plans to run to win his seat again.
All right. Well, now let me ask you then a little bit about why you're running. I know Chuck lived in Denver forever, and he would be like at his Republican Party meetings, and he'd be the only Republican there, and you too. But as you've been working, you know, the race and walking the streets, do you... Number one, it's always good to have a Republican run because then the Democrats have to at least fight it, right? But I mean, I think given the mood, I mean, are you finding people willing to listen to you and people willing in Denver to look, particularly given some of the stuff that's going on in the city of Denver, anyway, look beyond the D or the R and actually just listen to what you're saying?
Well, I hope so. In the few, a couple events that I have done, and now we have a number of events planned. The fundraising, while obviously it could be better, for a first-time candidate with virtually no name recognition, is going pretty well. So I think that is saying something as far as where we're going. But the issues in my campaign are everybody's issues. In fact, weren't you shocked Monday or whenever the mayor gave his State of the City address that he said that crime is literally down 30% in Denver? I mean, does he really live in Denver? I wonder. So those are the kind of those issues appeal to everybody. I think crime, this illegal alien problem we have, excuse me, the newcomer problem, I
And the
guess we're
newcomer,
just going to call it,
yeah.
God forbid. And those are things that people are interested in. And those are some things we can do something about. The city and county of Denver may not want to do anything about its crime problem, but the state of Colorado can do something about the crime problem. And so by passing legislation that is going
Right.
to do something about it.
Right.
I was a criminal defense lawyer for 50 some years, okay? I founded the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar. I know a little bit about defending criminals. Here's what they want to know. How much time am I going to do? How much time am I going to do? If we pass mandatory sentencing laws for people, for example, who use a gun in the commission of a crime, you're going to do 5 years, regardless of what the underlying crime was. Five, not good time, not earned time, not probation, not pro 5 years. I guarantee you the gun crime in Denver will go dramatically down, and in the state also.
Right.
That's what needs to be done. You cannot coddle a criminal. And that's who my opponent is. That's what he does. How
And
can we?
I was going to say, because I kind of did the interview backwards, but there's just so much going on. Let me kind of have you, because I'm glad you mentioned your background, sort of explain to people your background and what, your family and all of that too.
Well, I'm a fourth generation Denverite. So my family has been here an awful long time. My grandfather on my mother's side was actually from Italy, from Potenza, Italy. My grandparents on my father's side were also immigrants from Italy, immigrants the right way.
Legal.
So we've been here quite a while. I was born in raised in North Denver, went to Catholic grade school there, Catholic high school at Cathedral on 19th and Logan. I did my undergraduate work at CU Boulder and went to law school at the University of Denver. So I know the city. I know what it's like to live in the city. And now that I have grandchildren who are wonderful little creatures, I want them to have a chance to know what Denver was like when I was growing up, because it is nothing like that now. Nothing like that.
Okay. Well, and you've had, I mean, your law firm, you had, all kinds of great things going on with your law firm as well, right?
Yes, we did. In fact, my partner Gary Jackson, he and I were the first minority-owned law firm in the state of Colorado. So while
Wow.
other Black lawyers have been members of law firms, there's never been another Black lawyer that owned the majority interest in a law firm like Gary and I were partners together. We were partners for 38 years, so it
Wow.
was a long time. So,
Well, let me then, again, just a few more questions for you. What do you see? And I kind of answered this before, but a little bit more, just the mood in Denver, because you got to wonder, do the people, I mean, now the mayor, and I know this is a Denver issue, but I think that, like you said, there are things if Denver doesn't address, the legislature can address. He wants to raise taxes again for homeless people. You've got sanctuary city policies. I mean, these are the kinds of things that I think people in Denver must be getting tired of. And that, like you said, if the city council and the mayor won't do it, legislatively, there are things that you can do to sort of help
exactly.
save Denver.
Exactly. We can do things like support our police officers by eliminating that ridiculous personal liability thing that's on our policemen, so that if they make an error in judgment, they're personally liable for up to $25,000. That'll recruit a lot of people to the
Oh,
police
yeah.
department. So what do they have to do in Denver now? They're lowering the standards to hire police officers in Denver because they
Yeah.
can't get anybody who wants to do it. These
Right.
are things that make common sense. They're just stupid.
Yeah.
They won't stop. Are people in Denver tired of it? I don't know, but we're going to find out, because I'm telling people in my district, if you like the way things are, then you keep the guy that's in there right now. You want to change things, then you vote for me, because they will get changed.
All right. Did you have any events coming up and a website? And so if people want to come, if people want to help, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the website is demanaforhd2.com. People can go there. We have a donate button and we also have a volunteer button. We have some of those kinds of things. We're going to be starting some events shortly, but a lot of meet and greets. My campaign people want to get me out there so people will know who I am. So
right.
we're planning some of those strategies. I've got a real good young guy as my campaign director. My brother is my campaign manager. My wife is my treasurer. So we're using what money we collect strictly for the campaign and to get our votes out there. So we will be posting that stuff on the website. So if people want to kind of keep track of what we're doing, where we're going, and where we're going to be, they can find that information on the website.
All right, perfect. Well, Mike, if it's okay, I'd like to ask you to maybe just kind of stay in touch with us, because I think, you know, you're kind of at the heart of where things are happening and what you're hearing in the legislature. If things can be changing where you are, they can change across the state, I think. So, you know, please feel free to stay in touch and keep us posted on how things are going.
Thank you, Julie.
All right.
I really appreciate it.
All right, there you go. All right, Mike DeManna there, a great guy. I'm running for HD2. Anybody running in Denver needs all the help that they can get. So, and I see now, Jacob, you have been, thank you very much, Mike. Jacob, you have been patient with your hand raised. Now, am I catching you by surprise now, or did you want to?
No,
wait?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I just, a while back, you guys were saying that all the consultants that the Republicans hire are only in it for the money and they're not giving the best advice. Are they still hiring those same consultants
in Colorado?
Yeah.
Yes. There's only a handful of them, right? Because Colorado's not that big. Yeah, you know, you've got, and I don't, I'm going to back off. I'll wait till Chuck is back. You had to quick step aside to run through the list, but it's the same. It is the same group of consultants. Yes.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, and what they do is they kind of, one consultant has a client and the other one has the mailing company. The other one has a designing company, right? And they all, mm-hmm. it's just this whole sort of shell game where they move the money around. And the consultants, you know, I mean, they go where the money is, right? And Phil Anschutz is the number one donor in Colorado. And the other donors, you know, you've got your Rick Enstrom, people like that. They kind of follow what Anschutz goes because there's no point in fighting Anschutz. And so basically whatever they want, they get, right? And the consultants, I mean, what they actually think doesn't matter. They just go where the money is.
Okay. So where are the grassroots? But the grassroots should be hiring their own consultants, shouldn't they? Or,
well, they should be, but they don't have any money. I mean, you just heard Mike DeManna, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you heard Mike DeManna talking about, you know, it's a tight ship,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That becomes the problem. I mean, Chuck has been saying this forever, Jacob. Colorado needs better billionaires. As long as the billionaires that we have in Colorado are rhinos and establishment elite people, you know, there are no, you know, and the grassroots consultants are there and they help, but they just don't have the money. I mean, you look at Dave Williams' race, like literally he was outspent like 20 to one. When you have Americans for Prosperity, Janet Joshi, right? When you've got Americans for Prosperity pouring literally millions of dollars into a single race and you're just trying to raise small donor funds, the consultants don't have the consultants.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the other thing I was reading, they're having a hard time finding the Democrats are having a hard time finding volunteers all over the country. Yeah, they're having a real hard time.
Do you think Kamala's going to help or hurt? I don't think that. I think there's going to be a bump, but I don't think people are thrilled about. They never have been thrilled about her. Do you think?
I don't think she's going to be the nominee.
Oh, what do you think?
I think at the convention, if the at no not at the. Well, if she gets a I think after the first debate, no matter who it is, I mean, no matter who she, if she debates Trump or whatever, I think she's going to put her foot in her mouth, and people are just going to just walk away.
Yeah, we'll see.
There was one main donor, Democratic donor, the other night. He was just saying, she's not it.
Yeah, well, it took Obama a while to endorse her too. So, okay, hey Jacob, thank you for that. We'll see. We'll see. Well, and speaking of that, this is pretty funny. So Barack Obama, there's been a lot of speculation about why did he wait? Did he not like her? Was he just trying to make it look like he wasn't manipulating things? But finally he called her, although I was laughing, the Babylon Bee was tweeting that he actually butt dialed her. And then when she answered, had to say, oh, I endorse you. And we're going to play the video. It is just cringeworthy. And pay attention. You can see the microphone clipped to her jacket. So it's not like this was a spontaneous call, right? But Don, if we could please play the Obama call. This is Obama calling Kamala today.
Kamala.
Hello.
Hey there.
Oh, hi, you're both together. Oh, it's good to hear you both.
I can't have this phone call without saying to my girl Kamala, I am proud of you. This is going to be historic.
We called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office.
Oh my goodness. Michelle, Barack, this means so much to me. I am looking forward to doing this with the two of you, Doug and I both, and getting out there, being on the road. But most of all, I just want to tell you the words you have spoken and the friendship that you have given over all these years mean more than I can express. So thank you both. Means so much, and we're gonna have some fun with this too, aren't we?
Good grief. I mean, that was just like cringeworthy. It's like, oh, it's Barack Obama. Like I'm wandering
And
around.
Michelle.
And Michelle, you're both together there. Who knew? Who knew? I think there's a lot in that that shows what the problem is she just does not come across well, right? I mean, she's like, yes, Sandra has all these emojis. So, but another fun thing. The media, it was kind of fun for a while to watch them attack the Democrats, but I think now we've gone back to a place where they're falling in line. You know, they've all been threatened. And now it's like pretty soon they're going to be telling us Kamala Harris was not vice president under Biden, right?
No, that's, you know, there's no such
That was
position.
fake news.
That's
There was no such
no
position.
such position. There's president, there's nothing else.
Here, so here's somebody put together a montage. As you all know, everybody's saying she was never the border czar. I don't even know where you people got that, right? So, Don, if we could please play the border czar video. This is pretty funny.
Quote unquote, border czar. Vice President Harris was not a border czar.
Meantime, Vice President and border czar Kamala Harris facing some backlash.
What he said about Harris and immigration was not true. She was never appointed border czar.
And this will be her first visit to the U.S.-Mexico border region since she was appointed as the border czar by President Biden.
People are going to have to counter the misinformation. You already hear folks talking about the border czar. She wasn't the border czar.
President Biden tapped Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, to be the border czar.
Now, she wasn't the border czar. That's what Republicans labeled her.
They were very critical of Kamala Harris, especially in her role as border czar.
Now what she's up against is folks lying about her border record, calling her a border czar.
Kamala Harris, who was appointed as the border czar.
The Biden team didn't declare her the border czar. They wanted her to work on kind of the root causes of immigration.
There has been so much criticism against Kamala Harris. You know, she was the border czar.
Calling her sort of the border czar, which wasn't necessarily the case.
So the border, if they weren't planning to address it in a major way, do not make her your border czar. She met with some of the Northern Triangle countries, but nothing has effectively changed.
So they're back to their lying. Now, that doesn't bother them, right? They have their own video.
Well, because, you know, there's no federal position known as border czar. You're not czar of anything.
Yeah, I don't think we have any. Do we have any?
Czars. No Russian czars are, you know, there's no official title as Attorney General border czar. Or you know, whatever else, Secretary of Treasury
Czar.
Czar. There just isn't such a title. But effectively, it's a way of saying she's going to lead the efforts on the border.
So
but you know, don't believe a second of that. That's hilarious.
They've gone back to their lying ways. Hey, listen, that is going to wrap it up for us on this Party Friday. I want to thank Mark Hampton, thank Mike DeManna, and we will be then keeping you in touch. So again, if you know, to kind of the headline of the beginning of the show today was that the judge granted a temporary restraining order prohibiting Trader Todd Watkins from holding his.
There's no such thing as a preliminary injunction.
Oh.
There's no such thing as enjoining people. That's all made up by Republicans.
That's not true. No, I was going to say, no, it's true. So they grant, so Chuck was kidding there.
I was kidding there. I was being caustic.
The judge grant a restraining order prohibiting Todd and et al. From having.
Yeah, et al. That's the important point. Et al.
Et al. From having their illegal meeting tomorrow to try to oust Chair Dave Williams. That is great news. What a way to start Party Friday.
It is. I mean, just the good news, and there's really good news. And that's really good news.
All right. So everybody have a great weekend. We will see you all on Monday with Daniel Greenfield. We have Daniel
Greenfield on Monday. He'll be tremendous.
All right.
I'll try to make most of the show.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye, everybody.